The study on Wednesday this week is going to be about Scripture. And so the message for today and the reading from the Scripture does not come from our lectionary. This is my pick. And when I got in the car, I told Rick I didn't bring my Bible so Cindy couldn't talk about it. But I got here and figured out if I'm going to talk about the Bible, I really need a Bible. And I think this is probably the first time that I can ever remember carrying around a King James version of the Bible. The Bible. You're going to be here for a couple weeks just sitting here listening to me talk if I'm going to talk all about the Bible, so I'm not going to do that. The Bible has been many things in the Christian faith. Persons here and persons everywhere have seen it in very different ways. Very different ways. We as Christians are a people divided by a common book. This book has caused lots of divisions in how we read the book. Looking back, and most of the sermons I find from the early 2nd century, the sermons use the Scripture and preach about allegory. They don't preach what's necessarily here. They preach, what is it saying to us? And that was how they used the Bible. What is it saying? And if you think that this phenomena of the Bible being a splitting force in Christianity is nothing new. It was just as splitting in the early days because people understood it differently. And so we got the rise of those people who decided they were protectors of the right faith, calling others heretics. And so that occurs very early in the church. And luckily it still happens today. It gives me a reason for being. I'm a heretic. Been called that public. Matter of fact, in one of MCC's conferences, I even had a button that said I was a heretic. At that time, it was a Ziglarian heretic. Karen Ziegler had written an article for the last issue of the magazine MCC printed. We never printed it again after her article. Her article was about a new creation story. And it was the mothering God creating. And so she was brought up on charges as a heretic. At the conference, there were people that were going around ready to take her credentials away because she was the pastor of New York City Church. And so there was a bunch of us who had "I'm a Ziglarian heretic" buttons. Because we thought that MCC was a place of safety. That you could express these different views, these very different views of how we look at Scripture, and find a place in which we could actually talk to one another about our differences. So, when I thought about this week and preaching this week, where are the places I stand? What do I stand on when I look at the Bible? And this is not to say that all of you have to believe what I believe. Of course, it would all be a better world if you all believed what I believe. The reality is that that's probably not going to happen. So where do I start? And where I decided to start was in the 14th century. With an anchoress who almost died, spent many years near death. As she started getting better, they took her to the church, and the church built on this little thing on the side of the church, and she lived in that little, it was about 12 by 12, she lived there for the rest of her life. And she had a window on the outside where people could come and have her pray for them or seek advice. And she had a window on the inside so that she could be part of worship. And this was Julian of Norwich. She's the same one that I've talked about before. She went through all this struggle, and what God spoke to her in dreams was that everything was going to work out. Her most famous quote is, "In the end, all will be well. All will be well. All will be well." But things not quoted quite as much is, she believed that God was the source of all life. All life. And that God, through the womb of God, all life came into being. You know, we don't quite worry about these words as much as they did in those days. But there was a strong, strong feeling in all Christianity that everybody needed to believe that creation was ex nihilo, from nothing. And Julian said, "No, that's not right. Creation is from God. It's God's own self. Every living thing carries the genetics of God." Pretty strong words in the 14th century. And so God is the source of all life. And that's where I think we need to start our understandings of Scripture. God is the source of all life. And Frank Viola, in I think it's his latest book, talks about the purpose of God. And he goes through, and he's much more a literalist than I am, but he goes through all of Scripture. And that book is mostly quotes from Scripture about the purpose of God. And he says, at the end of the book, it's quite clear that from the very beginning, the purpose of God is to be in relationship with people and people in relationship with God. There's nothing else that trumps that. So I look at the Bible as relational. When I look at the Bible, anybody who's went through any of my classes knows that I have this whole list of things that you're supposed to do when you start reading the Bible. Really, it's about finding out who it was written to, why it was written, and all of those things. One of the things that it's hard for some people, and I think it's perfectly okay for them to look at Bible, just Scripture differently than me, but I look and I say, is this the Word of God or is it not? I don't believe that all of the Bible is the Word of God. That makes me a heretic again. But I believe God's words are in this book. The book for me is a story of relationships. Relationships between people and relationships between a people and their God. And so that relationship plays out in many ways. And in some places of Scripture, I think that the Scripture was written not to glorify God, which is what everybody tends to say, but it was written to justify their own bad actions. And we have a lot of self-justification. Bible was written by people as much filled with ego as we are today. And we have to look and see where we think the ego is playing. The second place that I stand, you know, we're all created from God. The second place is that we need to hear. The first word in that passage we heard from Deuteronomy is Shema. It can either mean hear, listen, understand. Hear, O Israel. We have to listen with our whole being. Your soul and your mind and your heart. That was the first one. Listen with your heart. Well, heart for them. Gets all twisted now because heart for them was that place of intellectual understanding. Soul was the place of emotion. And might was our physical being. God was saying with our whole self, listen. Rick sang for Pride Sunday that Peggy Lee song where it says, listen with your eyes. See everything you hear. Our whole beings are listening. There's things that we listen and that our whole beings just say, I don't think that's right. We need to be able to say that. So we listen. We listen for the word. And the word comes sometimes from this book and sometimes from the world around us. Early Celtic Christians said there's two sets of scripture. The little book and the big book of creation. We need to listen to both books. So we listen. We listen to God and for God. And if we're still, you know, sometimes we actually hear the word of God. I was looking through some of my papers, and one of the things I do is I tend to write down quotes, but I forget to write down who they're from. But one of them said, I need to listen for God, and then I need to check it out with others, because sometimes that voice is nothing more than me thinking I'm God. And that voice is often me thinking. So that's why we have communities where we can check things out. We were talking before church about the fact that the Jewish people gather together on most any day. You can go into a synagogue and there's people gathered together in a room arguing. Because they read the scripture. And then they argue and they present to each other, even if they don't believe it, what other people say. This is a possibility. And we need to hear all the possibilities. So we need to listen to each other and hear the possibilities. We need to prepare ourselves to read the scripture. I don't believe that you can just pick up the scripture, dial a page, and say, this is the word of God for me today. I've always liked that saying, you know, the person who said, everything I need I can get from scripture. And he opened it and pointed to a place and it said, and Judas went and hung himself. So then he turned a few more pages and did that and read the scripture that said, go and do you likewise. You know? You don't get necessarily great advice that way. You need to look at it, and you need to also see it as a whole and an evolution of people. How people understood what was happening. The Old Testament begins with some fairly childlike understandings of God. God is going to get us if we do something wrong. God's rules are to make sure that we have life and that we behave correctly. Very parental. My sister used to be very parental with me. If I was playing in the road, and ours was the road, we were the last house in the whole city, and the road went nowhere past us. But if I played in the road, my sister ran out, dragged me in, and beat me to a pulp. My uncle used to say it would be better for Bob if he got hit by a car. But that's sort of how we've done an understanding of Scripture. We are become so protective that we beat people to a pulp if they don't follow the rules. So we need to understand that evolution of understanding about who this God is. And as a Christian, I believe that we hold a great key in Jesus. When we read the Gospels, the words of Jesus, the actions of Jesus, they help us interpret who this God is that has been evolving in these relationships, our understandings. Jesus becomes the way of measuring things. And I don't think that's just true in our religions. I think in the Islamic religion, it's Muhammad becomes a way of understanding the Quran. And so we look for ways in which something helps us because we have this giant unseen God that we don't understand. If anybody ever tells you that they know all about God, they need to be immediately thrown in a batch of concrete and made a statue out of, because we don't want to hear it anyway. And so they may as well just be able to say, this was the know-it-all. So that's part of it. We have to have a place to stand. My place to stand is I learn from each other's differences. I know who best helps me understand this God is Jesus. I know that God has called me to love. That Shema, do any of you have a mezuzah in your house? Huh? No. I thought about buying some mezuzahs and handing them out. I think that this passage holds a real key for us to understand Scripture. Take these words. Listen, O Israel, your God is one, and you will love your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And then he says, post them everywhere. Put them on your wrist. Put them on your forehead. Post this everywhere. And put them on your doorpost. And so every time you go into a Jewish home, you're going to find a mezuzah. And a good Jew, when they go in and out, they touch that to remind themselves of the Shema. It's a reminder that God created you in love and wants that.